you would open your Bibles and turn to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, 16 through 17. Revelation chapter 22, verses 16 through 17. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him who hears say, "Come," and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely.
I appreciate being allowed to say a few words. I mentioned it to Bruce earlier, and Shay said he would appreciate the break with all that he's been going through. Just to give you a background, because most of you I don't know, I mean a lot, are new here. Ruby grew up in the congregation here. Well, she obeyed the gospel, she and all of her family, on July 7, 77. 7-7-77, that's a fitting day to obey the gospel. And she grew up here. And Ruby was teaching in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And I was 25, obviously never married, and I decided I was going to be single all my life. I had one criteria for a wife. I wanted to be a good Christian girl. And I just wasn't anybody around home. We're a rural area, wasn't that many. And I just, didn't find any girls I was interested in, but truth be known, they weren't interested in me. That was the problem there. But anyway, that's okay. I was preaching at a church outside of Bowling Green, and they said, "You need to come out to school. We got this new music teacher." That's her. We married about a year later. I met her in 85, and we married in 86, so we've been married 37 years now. And so in that year before we got married, though, I came to visit Clay and Wanda. Ruby wanted to introduce me to her family. And we drove all night to get here. Sun was coming up over the Ozarks as we came, because I'd been teaching at Bible school. And I had to say a couple of things. I'd mentioned this at Wanda's funeral, but when I first met Wanda, she said, "It's really good to meet Ewens." I'd never heard anybody say Ewens, ever. I told Ruby, I said, I don't speak the language. You've got to help me. And I learned, and I know I've heard Bruce say this, I thought I'd gone to Berryville. No, it was Burrville. And so I learned, I worked, learned the language, and was able to come to Arkansas. And so they had asked me to hold a gospel meeting here. It was the first gospel meeting I ever held. It was here in summer of 85. And they offered me the job. They needed a preacher. So I turned them down because I'd already been offered a job in Kentucky. And so we've been there ever since. Ruby and I live on the farm that Mom had before she passed. And I want to publicly thank Ruby for all of our life together. But Mom has been living with us, had for 10 years. And the last 2 years, 2 months, Mom never got out of bed even once. She couldn't. We had a room for her in the living room, a bed, so she could see the farm. And she loves seeing the farm being worked. And it is an active farm, not by me, but others. And but Ruby took care of Mom, changed her, cleaned her, everything that goes with not getting out of bed for 2 years. Ruby did that faithfully. If it hadn't been for Ruby, Mom would have been in a nursing home. Mom always said she wanted to die on the farm if she could, and she did. And so Ruby went in. It's November 17th of last year, and we kept checking on Mom, and she said, "Marty, she's not breathing." She was gone, just like that. Peaceful and quiet, but a fine Christian lady. And it's a little sad coming out here, not just for Clay's burial, but I honestly know this might be my final trip to Berryville. Oh, sorry, Burl. And I know it might be my final trip here, because Ruby and I are no spring chicks. We're only 17 years from 80. She said, "Don't say it like that." Well, I'll be 63 in October. She'll be 63 in March. And so, you know, we are approaching. The federal government considers elderly 65, so I'm knocking on the door if it'll open. But when I came here and first met Ruby, I was only 24. She had no gray hair. Of course, 37 years with me, that pretty well says it all, I guess. And I had more hair, though gray doesn't run in my family. I've never gone gray, but I can't. Where's the time gone? It's gone into the past. Eternity is coming quick. And I realize this probably will be my last time to probably preach here. Just the nature, it's really hard for us to drive here. It's a 12-hour drive one way. It's really tough at our age right now. And it's going on to get tougher. And maybe we will be back. And I think one of the things that makes me most sad is knowing that I won't see some of y'all ever again. But it doesn't have to be sad. If you're living in the Lord, we get to be together forever. And that's a great comfort. There were some of y'all were here when I came. Yeah. I know Bruce and his family were here. Of course, some of them were not in 85. And so, of course, Leon and Debbie were here. And we got brand new ones, young people here. I noticed the congregation is almost exactly the same size and attendance we are at the times. Contribution is close to the same. And it's interesting how that we have mirrored each other. But if I could give parting thoughts, because I know this might be my last time to get to say anything to y'all. Or should I say you? Is it okay, y'all? All right. I just wanted to know what they understood. And, we got a lot of young people here. We got, of course, Chase. I was impressed with his lessons because they were so biblical. And I can tell he knows the Bible. He'll learn a lot more. That's what you want to do, is just hear Bible preaching. That's all I try to do. I preach a lot of expository just right from the text. And Chase, and of course, his wife, Trinity, and then new couple, was it Colton and Mallory? And so there's a lot of new ones coming up here. The future of the church here looks good, even if your numbers are down. If you have someone preaching from the Bible, the future of the church is good anywhere, because that's all you need. You know, it may just be a few. Jesus only had 12 apostles, not 1,200. But I think some parting remarks I'd give you, and I hope it's not my parting remarks. I hope I get to preach here again someday. But if I don't, I would encourage you to don't let anything stand in your way of the Lord. Any kind of discouragements. Certainly not sin, but people can lose family members. They lose, obviously parents and children, as those obviously Leon and Debbie have. Those are hard burdens to bear. Ruby and I don't have any children, and so that's impossible for that to happen to us. We've lost all of our parents. But other tragedies will come. There will be discouragements. Things will happen. But I really think we can arise. And I know Bruce has some health issues. Things will come. Ruby and I have been very fortunate. Neither one has ever had to spend the night in the hospital. I went to the emergency room once, really, for like what Trinity had. I had some infection they thought was going to go septic, but they didn't. They gave me a little medicine, and, I was out the door and been fine. And I've never had to spend the night in the hospital. Ruby never has either, and we've been very blessed. I pray a lot to stay healthy so I can keep preaching where I'm at, because I have been there 31 years. It's in where I grew up. It's in the same town. I went to high school there. And so it's in the county seat where I preach. And so I know a lot of people, obviously, around. But I want to look at least two passages, and I'll look at a couple more that talk about overcoming adversity and not being distracted. Look quickly at Luke 19. You know this passage very well. It was Zacchaeus. Where he sought to see Jesus, verse 3, Luke 19:3. But I would start with verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was chief among the publicans, which is a tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of stature. There was two things preventing him from seeing Jesus, and both of them were beyond his control. One was the crowd in front of him. He might could have said, can y'all move? But they're not going to pay attention to a little short guy asking a crowd to move. And one, he couldn't do anything about it. He was short. He was short of stature. I'm not tall. I'm not short. And, I am actually pretty average as far as height is concerned. But, you picture short, you can't see over people. And so he couldn't change those. So what did he change? He changed his situation, what he was doing. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So he did what he could to overcome. Jesus, and I truly think providentially, was passing where there was a tree where Zacchaeus could climb. Picture climbing. First of all, we were already told he was short, just a little stature. Consider the attire of the day. obviously robes. Trousers weren't invented till probably about 1100 or so in Western Europe. Had a robe, probably sandals. Picture all those things trying to climb a tree. I can't climb a tree now. My tree climbing days are over. I'll probably be buried under one, but I've already told Ruby where I want to be buried on the farm. There are some trees there, and pretty we'll just be buried there on the farm. But climbing a tree, if I tried, that burial would probably come sooner. And so I might could get up a little bit, but not much. But he climbed a tree to see him. He did what he could. He overcame his adversities. You know, if we look, there's probably a way to overcome. There are things that really keep us down. Some the loss of loved ones, the loss of a child or sibling or sickness. But the Lord will provide a way that we can overcome. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste. I can't help but smile a little bit because Zacchaeus, no doubt, probably had worked hard to climb this tree. And since Jesus got there, he said, hurry up and come down. Well, he just got there. But he came down and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He had only wanted to see Jesus, but because of his working so hard to overcome his shortness, he couldn't make himself taller. Well, Jesus himself said, what one of you can add a cubit to his height by taking thought? He couldn't overcome that, but he could use something to make him taller that the Lord had provided, and that was a tree. But he came down, he got far more. He just wanted to see Jesus, but Jesus said, I'm coming to your house today. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And of course, they murmured and said that he'd gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. Just think about that. Who could Jesus have eaten with if he didn't eat with sinners? He would have dined alone his entire life. Even his mother, Mary. I know there are groups, and as Chase pointed out this morning, they totally changed the word. They've made Mary a holy person. Oh, she was a righteous woman, but she was a sinner. You know, she had at least six other children the old-fashioned way. We know she had at least six because it mentions when they came to see Jesus, his brothers were there, they named them, and his sisters, which is plural, so there had to be two. So there were six of them. Jesus, being firstborn, made a total of at least seven. It's interesting how seven shows up so much in the Bible as completeness. But he couldn't have even eaten with Mary if he had not eaten with sinners, because she wasn't. Only Jesus was perfect. I want you to look at the next three words, at least in the King James. And Zacchaeus stood. I wonder, and I do not know. I wonder if coming down he may have slipped and fallen on the ground because it says he stood. It doesn't say that, but maybe just coming out of the tree, he just stood there. And he mentions, Lord, I've given half of my goods to the poor. And I won't read the rest of the story because I just wanted to make the point, at least now out of this one. He overcame. And there can be a lot of things that are in our way that we can overcome. I know that Trinity hasn't been too healthy lately and a lot to overcome. I've never had anything like that. You know, even at my age, I'm old. I should be sicker than I am. But I've been really blessed. One thing I do is I pray daily. There's a few things I pray for every day. Obviously, the standards, forgive me of any sins, guide us, protect us, direct us. But I pray for good health every day that I'll never be sick, that requires hospitalization. And Ruby knows, and she knows how I am, and I think a lot of men are. I have to be on death's door before I go to a doctor. And I just don't want to fool with it. And I pray for Ruby to be sick because she's so active in church, teaching classes and everything, for her not to be sick. Sorry, I don't. Slip of the tongue. I haven't quite learned the language. Just give me a little leeway there. But I pray that she is never sick as well so we can continue to do the Lord's work till our last day. And the Lord has answered. But I would be like Chase said this morning, if the Lord does answer, but, you know, so be it. Not, you know, his will, but mine. And so, as they said to Nebuchadnezzar, you know, nonetheless, or, you know, the wording there that we're not going to do this. And so whatever the Lord wants. But we can overcome. So I pray for that all the time. I also pray for the Holy Spirit, I guess, daily. Jesus said, if any of you, you know, it talks about praying for the Holy Spirit, and the Lord shall give it to it. I don't even know all of what's involved in that. I think I know some things. But I know because Jesus said pray for it, it's something I want. And so I do pray for that. Probably a Holy Spirit-like attitude and understanding the word. But one of the others overcoming, turn if you will to 2 Kings. I'll give you a moment to get there. 2 Kings 2. this is where Elijah's going to be taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. I'll skip a little bit. Let's go on down to verse 9. And so Elijah's just getting ready to be taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. You know, double's used a few times in the Bible. In Revelation, you know, give unto her double her, you know, rewards. And Jeremiah, bring upon them double destruction. Just a side note about Jeremiah. It's hard not to picture the prophets, you know, the minor prophets and major, just the size of their books is older, grizzled men with long beards. But in Jeremiah 1, the Lord said to him, say not I'm a child. Jeremiah was very young. He was so young, he said, don't say you're a child. And he was sinning. He said, the words that you speak, I'll put in your mouth. And so, but Jeremiah, you can almost see sometimes a childlike attitude with him. And I say that, you know, humbly. He said, destroy them with double destruction. He was so put out with the people. And understandably, they put him in a pit. And remember, the Ethiopian eunuch, not from Acts 8, he was Ethiopian eunuch in Jeremiah, Ebed-Melech. He put old clothes and lifted him up out of the pit. And Ebed-Melech was rewarded for that. So he'd say, now I'm a dry tree. You know, he couldn't have children. And so the Lord said, that's okay. You've got me and your people. So anyway, I digress a little bit. Do you ever do that, Chase, preach, go on a little side story? And you think of things you want to fill in. And so he asked for a double portion. 2 Kings 2:10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. I quoted this scripture to Ruby the other day, not to teach her a spiritual lesson, but she asked me to do something. It may have been like, can you get your laundry together? I said, thou hast asked a hard thing. That's whatever it was. I didn't want to do it at the time, and so I just quoted a scripture. Another scripture I quoted to Ruby, side note, we got a really good Mexican restaurant in town, and I've become really good friends with the Mexicans there. I'm going to do a side note to the side note. I've invited them to church. One came. One of the Mexicans came up to me and handed me a piece of paper. He said, Señor, can you read this? I looked at it, it was written in Spanish. Fortunately, my Spanish is okay. It was scripture, so I knew it. I said, well, this is a passage where it says the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He said, no, he isn't. He didn't believe it. He just, you know, thought it, he just could not believe that. But he's not the one that came to church, a guy that came to church. He asked me, he said, I'd like to meet you at church and talk to you. I thought he had a spiritual lesson. He said, I've met this girl. And his English wasn't too good. He said, I want you to help me write a Valentine and try to win her heart. I said, Señor, you have come to the right place. I wrote it out. She broke up with him. But anyway, so I thought I wrote good words, but I don't think, hopefully that wasn't a problem. But what I asked Ruby, we're going by the Mexican restaurant. I quoted Jeremiah to her again. She said, I know you don't want to eat there. I said, I never thought it, nor came it into my mind. That's when the Lord quoted said to Jeremiah about their offering of children. And so I don't think it's wrong to quote scripture necessarily out of context. The Lord knows how that I mean it. It serves to remind me of those scriptures sometimes. It always serves to remind me of them. But he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. If thou see me, so he gave a condition. If you see me when I'm taken away from you, it shall be so. But if not, it shall not be. So it's simple. If you see me when I go into heaven, you'll have this double portion. And it came to pass, verse 11, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Probably the most amazing thing that he could have ever seen went between them during this. The context, it doesn't say, but it says Elisha saw it. I believe he did see him go up into heaven because he had such a spirit of God that you remember whenever the bones of a dead man touched Elisha after he was buried, they resurrected. When they put him in the grave, Elisha's spirit was so strong. But my point is, as you go into the future and toward eternity, don't let anything distract you. Zacchaeus overcome hardships. There will be a way provided, just like he had the sycamore tree provided. You can overcome. It can be tough. But prayer and reading the Word of God does so much to calm your soul and to soothe it. And the lesson from here, don't let anything distract you from the Lord. you know, maybe you're young and dating, and you meet a brand new girl or boy, and if you're not careful, they can distract you from the Lord. The greatest thing you've ever seen can go by. Chariots of fire and horses of fire. I've never seen anything like that, and I'm sure Elisha had not either. But I truly think from the context, he didn't let it distract him. It would have been hard not to look, wouldn't it, to see it go by. You hear horses, and you can hear that fire going, to keep your eyes on Elijah. Whatever happens in your life as we go, keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't take them off at all, and you'll be fine spiritually. You know, stay close to the Lord that way. A couple more things I'm going to mention. Obviously, Revelation. In Revelation, turn if you would to 21 and 22. That's going to be probably, I'll be wrapping it up. What time y'all quit, Bruce? About a quarter till? Quarter to two or three? Whichever one. I'll do two. Oh, I forgot. Leon has a sword in that cane, doesn't he? It'll be a quarter to two. All right. You know, this might be the last time I will see some of y'all. And that's sort of sad. But it doesn't have to be the last time I see you, even if I never make it here again to burial. Because, remember, there's six people in the Bible. I won't name them all. I'm not sure I'll get them all. But whenever Moses died, Jacob, I think it said of Miriam, Aaron, it said they'd gone to be gathered to their what? People. You know, Ruby told me, she said, she doesn't have any family in Berryville anymore except the church. I don't have any family here except the church. But you all are my people because I know the way you think. I know the way you live. I'm closer to you all than I am a lot of my physical family who have forsaken the Lord. I don't feel close to them. I plan on spending eternity, existing eternally, is the way I should say it, with you all. And you are my family. Be gathered to my people. So this won't be the last time I see you. You know, the way you can stay faithful is study and read every day. And one of the things I'll pray, I'm going to speak a little bit at Clay's burial Tuesday. We've only got 30 minutes. The military only allows a 30-minute service in the National Cemetery. But one of the things I mentioned at Mom's funeral, first time I ever used it, I told Mom before she passed, I was going, you know, we talked about I was going to speak, and I said, I'm going to read this passage of yours. And it was sort of sentimental. Mom, you know, maybe just knowing a little bit about me, in 1965 is the first Christmas I remember. I was 5 years old. And it was 1965. And Mom gave me a gift that I used at her funeral. If you were going to guess, what do you think she gave me? Bible. She did. Bruce, you're right. A white Bible she gave me. And I hadn't used it in years. I had it in safekeeping. And I told Mom, of course, I said, I'm going to use that white Bible if you leave this life where I do. And I did. And I won't use it again. I'm just going to save that aside. But, you know, it's just a material thing. But I wanted to use that for Mom. And I did. She got me that Bible in 1965. And that's the first Christmas gift I remember. Oh, there were a lot of G.I. Joes and baseballs and footballs when I was growing up. And I remember those guys. We didn't have electronic toys when I was a kid. As a matter of fact, we had electricity, but we didn't have running water for my first 5 years. Well, we did in a way. I had to run out and get it. We did. Yeah, it was outside. We didn't have running water. We didn't have an indoor plumbing or bathroom. We got those in 66. We moved into a little town, and boy, things exploded. That's when they moved to the farm. We said 68 from Berryville to the farm. And so we did the opposite. We moved from the farm to town. And so we didn't have a lot of amenities, but, you know, it was a wonderful life. You know, we didn't have running water. We didn't have hardly any TV. I think we'd get one channel. No bathroom. But it was a wonderful life because from the first time I remember, do you know where we went every Sunday, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Always. Church. Never missed it. Mom always made sure we were there. And that was the best gift she could have ever given me, was that, instilling, you know, that faithfulness in me. I remember, just a side note, I know probably none of y'all here remember this because it wasn't here. April the 4th, 1973, or April 3rd, 1974, was one of the worst tornado outbreaks through the Midwest. It killed, oh, I don't know, 200 or 300, but quite a few hundred in Kentucky. And it was really, really stormy that night. Very stormy. That's when it killed so many in Brandenburg, Kentucky. We didn't have a tornado at home, but it was extremely stormy. It was Wednesday night. I don't care how stormy it was. You know where we went? Yeah. Bible? Yep, church. Storm or not, we were there. But I told Mom I'm going to speak these words, and I did. Look at Revelation 21. Just look at verse 4. I call this heaven's obituary. When you read an obituary, it's a list of someone who has done what? We call it passed away. That's what obituaries are. Listings of people who have passed away. Well, I consider this heaven's obituary. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Heaven's obituary. Here's a list of the deaths in heaven, if you will, because they passed away. Death itself, sorrow, crying, no more pain. If this was the only verse in the Bible, I want to be saved. Because you look at the other choice, Chase mentioned this morning very accurately. There's only two choices, heaven or hell. Being lost is nothing but these things. It's a second death, which is eternal, sorrow, crying, and pain. That's all it is. It has no part in heaven. Those things are passed away. That's why that I want to be there. So you can study the Bible every day. Study it a lot. I even hesitate mentioning this, but I know it's probably the last time I might address it. Sometime if you get an opportunity, maybe log onto our website, MumfordvilleChurchOfChrist.com. If you can remember my name, Marty Edwards, you can go to MartyEdwards.com. I have that URL and it redirects to that site. I set that up years ago just so someone couldn't take Marty Edwards and make it something I didn't want. So it goes to the church site. And if you go on our site here, or small, there it is, Mumfordville Church of Christ. But if you click over at the side, you'll have our bulletins. I did the bulletin for today. Our bulletins are all there as PDF. You have a really nice bulletin, Chase. I was looking through that, and I really like it. It's laid out quite well, like where you have notes, a place for notes here. That's a good idea. But like, here's our bulletin. Feel free to log on there, and you might find some articles you like. Just use them to... the preacher that was here, what's Nova's husband's name? Eric. Eric used a lot of the articles that we had. And so bulletins, a map how to get there, but you don't need that. Bible audio or live broadcast. Like right now, if I hit live broadcast, you'll hear Bible being read.
I receive this angel of God.
All right.
All
right, that runs around the clock except during lesson. Or if you log onto our site and want a chapter, say, oh, I want to hear Revelation 22, just log on, click it. And I know there's Bible audio available everywhere. Let me click Revelation 22.
Revelation 22.
All right.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life.
The reason I mention that, that's me reading. I read the entire Bible. I started in September of 2010. I had a goal to finish in 5, maybe 6 years. Well, I got it finished in 2 years and 6 months. I read every morning when my voice was good and I sounded like an announcer before I got old. I wanted to read before I got too old. And, you know, my voice doesn't sound like I did then. But that is me reading, and it's King James Version. The reason I mention that, they're free and available to download or stream because two things. One, I did the reading, so take them. Another is King James Version. That's the only version of the Bible that's copyright free. I know Chase said he used New King James, and Ruby does primarily. But I couldn't read it. It's copyrighted. But King James is public domain, so I was allowed to read that. And we get a lot of listeners. Now, I've seen as many as 1,000 a week log on a stream. I some way got wind. I saw it online. There's a radio place in Brazil that repeats our broadcast, and we get a ton of listeners from Brazil. Probably a Brazilian. That's a big number, isn't it? But I don't even know if it is a number. But, you know, maybe log on. I listen to Bible readings a lot. Now, this isn't meant to be a compliment, but I think it's one of the reasons maybe I've picked up some things about the Bible. After I read and recorded these, really it changed my life. I mean, I was living a Christian life then, but I feel so much closer to the Lord. I listen to them all day long. First thing when I get up in the morning, shower and shave, I have these playing on the vanity in the bathroom. I listen to them all day. Now, I do other things. I can't, you know, things come up that I'll focus and hear other things. Ruby and I don't have cable. We canceled cable in 2010. We just, no interest. So we watched some YouTube videos and pardon me, and things like that. I'm just not interested. There's nothing but things I don't want on TV. Now, there may be some good things. And I've got to mention this. Since I started coming here nearly 40 years ago, I never would have dreamed that same-gender marriages would be allowed in this land. What has happened? Where's our nation going? Well, we've got to be the light of the world. You know, and one thing, the darker a place is, the brighter dim light looks. So don't think your light's not bright. It'll shine bright in a dark place. But I listen to these all day long. I drove out to Berryville yesterday. It's a 12-hour drive. I don't care how I do it. It takes me 12 hours. And it's just, it always has taken that. And when I started the house, I started playing Bible readings. I listened all 12 hours coming out. And sometimes, I mean, I'd had to stop and get gas. I might not hear, but I had gone into a Walmart. And I could hear Bible readings playing. They were in my pocket playing. I'd left them screaming. Now, that's not to mean to be a pat on the back. But I love, what we just saying, I love to tell the story. I've got to hear the story. I love these words. I love hearing, and I learn something new all the time. I was telling Chase this morning, we've got to be careful maybe about not listening to things that aren't as familiar or just maybe list of names. But I was riding down the road, this wasn't yesterday, it was a few years ago, and I heard Numbers 2, verse 3 play. Matter of fact, I'll read it to you so I don't. And Numbers, I have to admit, I almost let my mind wander a little bit because Numbers is a lot of, you know, Old Testament laws, which are wonderful, they teach. But a lot of things, they were really describing the encampments of the tribes in the wilderness. And I heard Numbers 2, verse 3, and I actually prayed, Lord, don't ever let my mind wander from these. There's something in every passage. And I remember I actually got chills when I heard this. And on the east side, they were talking about where all the tribes had to camp. And on the east side toward the rising of the sun, so they are the standard of the camp of Judah pitch. I'll just stop there. So he said, Judah will always camp toward the east. And it just hit me because I probably have read Revelation more than any book. Because I knew Revelation 22:16, Jesus said, I'm a bright morning star. In Revelation 20, earlier, he says, I'll give them the morning star, which is him. And then it just hit me. Jesus obviously descended from the tribe of Judah. So Judah always camped east. He is the bright and morning star. Where does the bright and morning star always rise? To the east. And he never explained why I want Judah to the east. I feel like that could be it. They always camp toward the east. And that's where Jesus, the bright and morning star, which would obviously be the sun, the brightest that there is. And as I listen, I hear things like this I never heard before. As a matter of fact, probably less than 2 months ago, I caught something I do that all the time, things I haven't caught in the Bible before. Reading so much, I try to listen 6 to 8 hours a day, sometimes more, sometimes it's less, but I try to always listen because I want to learn as much as I can. But like I said, I don't say that. That's not a pat on the back to vaunt myself. I'm just saying it will change your life if you read the Bible much more than how we do, much more than I'm doing. And so whenever I go home, I'll listen to the Bible the whole way. There's nothing else I want to hear. I don't want to hear songs on the radio. Half of them are not, more than half aren't good. I'll be honest, and you might not. Some people might not want this. Once I started reading the Bible so many hours a day, I lost interest in baseball. I used to like baseball. I lost interest in football. Sorry, Razorbacks. But it's just vanity of vanity. What's it going to mean in a few years? There's nothing wrong with it. I know you taught PE. We've got to keep our bodies healthy. There's nothing wrong with it. But I won't need a sport in 100 years. I need the Word of God. And so I'll close on this, Mark, because it's a quartet, and I think Leon's reaching for his sword back there. But what I caught just a few days ago, I know that mankind divided the Bible into chapters and verses, but look at Revelation 22. I want to show you a word that occurs 7 times. I never knew it was in this chapter 7 times until the other day. I've heard Revelation 22 so much, I feel like I can quote it. It's one of my favorite passages because it's the last thing that Jesus ever said to us. But look at Revelation 22. Verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. Verse 17, talk about an invitation here. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And that's, and then verse 20, he which testifies to these things saith, surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come is mentioned seven times in Revelation. Some of them are a little different context, but I just found that interesting. Seven's always been a number of completeness in the Bible. Isn't that totally opposite of the lost at the judgment when he'll say, depart from me? But here, especially in verse 17, and the Spirit of the bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life free. The invitation is, he's extending, he's begging, if you will, in this chapter, come. He's offering all this to us. And here, and I know that I'm speaking to everybody that's members of the Lord's body, I'm sure. One of the things I do, I always give the invitation, like Chase did this morning, and tell what to do to be saved, because we do broadcast live. We broadcast on YouTube and TuneIn Radio, just our screen. I have a large screen. And so maybe if you can't be at services, if you don't see it here, maybe you can tune in sometime and listen, and or the Bible readings. I think, and I'm not saying listen to me. If you want to hear the Bible read in a Kentucky rural accent, tune me in. If you want something more polished, you definitely can find it. But it was a labor of love reading the Bible. I remember the day I finished Bible readings, I told Mom and her, I said, well, that was my last chapter to read in the Bible, which wasn't Revelation 22. It was actually Psalm 150. I saved Psalms to last because they're so easy to read. And I like to went berserk on 1 Chronicles 1, all the names, just the listings of genealogies. It was tough, but I got it done. And what Ruby does, Ruby's a really, really good Bible student. She reads the Bible every night. Double reads it. She reads, she goes back, she reads, follows along in a big Bible, and listens to my readings. She finds any errors I've made, and there's been, you know, quite a few, little, mostly little ones, nothing major. Sometimes, you know, I'll say a word totally wrong. Maybe say, you know, thou instead of thee, and I like to correct those, and I'll quit in just a minute, but I know this is my last time to probably speak to you. And so she does that. The next morning, I read all the corrections, put them on computer, upload them instantly in a few moments. And then that night, she goes back and listens to my corrections just in case I introduced any new errors. And so she does that. Well, like one other day, I did change this to a different word. Where Moses was put in the, you know, the ark of bulrushes, I put, they dabbed it with slime. She said that word is actually daubed. And so it is daubed. So I went back and corrected that. And so, you know, that was actually the wrong word. Sometimes, if it's just a slight pronunciation difference, that can be, you know, subject to the translators. But she does that, so she reads every night, then rereads it the next night, then reads new things. And she reads all the time. So we both try to, and I say this humbly, but I'd rather read the Bible than anything else. Because Jesus said, and I'm going to close here, the words I've spoken, the same shall judge you when? In the last day. This is what I need to know then, not things on television or movies. Nothing intrinsically wrong with those. But I want to spend as much time with this word as I can, because I know I'll be judged by it, and I want to live by it. And I know I probably won't see many of y'all again. Maybe none of you, except Ruby, I hope I do. But we did drive separately. She came out. You know, Ruby came out. She wanted to be with Clay a while before he passed. I got to tell you this, if you didn't know, she got here. He passed 45 minutes after she got there. It was really close. And so we thought she was going to be here a few days, maybe even a few weeks, as his health digressed. So he passed, and then I came right out, so we drove separately. But I'm sure all the adults here are members of the Lord's body, but if you're not, you need to believe on Jesus. But not just that, but turn from your sins in repentance. Confess his precious holy name. And then be baptized, that is, submerged underwater to wash away your sins. You rise to a new person. Then you have to live faithful. But the Lord has made easy terms. If you've left the Lord, turn from your sins and ask him to forgive you, and he will. You know, I hope to see y'all again. It probably won't be in this life, but I want to see all of us in heaven together. If you need to respond, do so as we stand and sing.
But I long to rise in the arms of a and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy servant, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. For the burning light of a single hour than before thy throne I've been. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune and grin with friends. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There